Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. This verse appeared in the book of Judges several times. For example, if you look at chapter 19, the first verse there, it will tell you, it says, "And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain man." So, several times, chapter 17, chapter 18, you keep seeing this example. Now, let's also look at something similar to it in the book of Ruth, chapter 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. "And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Now, we will see the relationship later on, but what we are trying to look at is that in those days, there was no king in Israel. And I asked myself, before this time, was there a physical king in Israel? Just from the book of Genesis up till the book of Judges, why we are told that when there was no king in Israel. Was there any king in Israel before that time? Physical king? The answer definitely is no. There was no king. But there is something that I believe God is trying to show to his people. In the time of Abraham, was there a king in Israel? Or even Jacob and all along, there have been no physical king in Israel. But there is something, you know, that I see when you say there was no king in Israel. Because I see the same thing happening today. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, which we read the first day, you know, it said, the kingdom of God, and speaks of a king who invited his subjects into a banquet, and they dishonored him. Those bidding says they will not come, because later on the scripture says because they were not worthy. They were not worthy. But what I begin to see there is that for many people of God in the world today, you recognize that there is God. But we don't recognize that there is king. And that has been the problem of Israel. Yes, God is there, big and far away. Because when you recognize the kingship of our Lord Jesus, then you begin to fall in line. One, that for you to talk of a king It means that king must have a kingdom. Must have a kingdom. And that this kingdom is constituted by people that occupy a particular defined space. This kingdom must be ruled. But there is something that is, you know, which must be recognized. The subjects must give honor to the king and accept him as such as their lord. So this is the missing link today, you know, with the people of God. Because if you think that, yes, the Lord also is the king, then your attitude, my attitude to God will change. Because the king has power. The king has authority over his subjects. In Matthew 22, he said, he sent his servant and the people maltreated his servant. He now showed them that he is king. He has authority. He said he ordered his soldiers, his armies, to go and destroy those communities that so dishonored him by maltreating his servant. So, all along, on the first king in Israel was Saul. So, but it, what is now missing is that how come that the people of old recognized the kingship of the Lord God and they didn't have problem? And why these other people started having problem. Praise the Lord. So I'm putting these questions so that we can put it in perspective as we look at the word of God. He said, in those days. So can it be said that in these days there is no king in Israel or in the church of God, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes? So, because we cannot fail to recognize the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and once in any congregation of the people of God, and you don't think there is no king, then everybody should be doing what he thinks is right. And that was the beginning of problem for Israel, the physical Israel. And that is the problem of the church today. We must recognize. Now, we will look at the effect of such a condition. But let's start by looking at the book of Judges, chapter 1, where when God begins to give instruction. Sorry, let's go to Joshua first. Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter of the book of Joshua. Verse 29. Joshua 24:29. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. So Joshua died. Was Joshua a king in Israel? No, he was not a king. But it was after his death that they realized that they had no king. So the problem of Israel was not the physical king, but the lack of the recognition of the kingship of God over the land of Israel. So we must come to the point that we must recognize the kingship of our Lord over our lives. Because the implication is that when you recognize his kingship, then you know that you are a subject of a king. And two, you will obey the rules of the kingdom. You just know that you cannot do anything you like. Three, that if you misbehave, the king has the authority, the power to deal with anyone who try to play with his authority. So all this must be made clear, because these were the things that they failed to recognize after the death of Joshua. Because in the time of Moses, they recognized Caleb, they recognized the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it brought respect that you, as a subject, you want to obey the rules of a king. But when you think that there is no king, then it means that you are not a subject of anybody. You are your own subject. You are your own subject. No, what in Nigeria is called autonomous communities. So we find out that when you find out that all of us as individuals, we are autonomous communities in Christendom, so there is no king, then we can begin to do what you like and what I like. And God has been coping with it up till now. And that's why Brother Paul warned that let everyone that named the name of God depart from iniquity. Because he was telling us about the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the time has come and it is now. Now, how come that Israel degenerated to this problem? How come that they failed to recognize the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ? When you look at the book of Judges, the whole book, and then you go to Ruth, and then keep going till you get to Kings, when physical king was made for them. But when they had their physical king called Saul, was their condition better? There was no change in their situation, because they have not done the first thing, recognize the lordship and kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at some verses in Judges. Judges chapter 2. It's a repetition, which we read about from verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and I brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no link with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as stone in your sight, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now, the problem is that we are contending. They lost it because God gave a word about us and the people of the land. There must be a separation because it's not the same kingdom and it's not the same king. And when two kingdoms begin to fuse together anyhow, then it means you have two kings, two subjects, and at what point in time, which one of these kings do you obey at one time or the other? Which one do you serve? That was the beginning. And God says, don't mingle. Don't have this other king over you. He said, but the people will not accept, you know, the order which God gave them. Now, if we move down to verse 13 of that Judges chapter 2, it said, and they, that the people of Israel, forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them from the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies around about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet, they will not hearken unto their judges, but they went around after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandment of the Lord. But they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods, to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubbornness. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that these people have transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their father did keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither deliver he them into the hands of Joshua. Now, if you get to God promised that he was going to drive out, but they were to serve him and recognize his lordship. Because until we recognize that kings have armies, and when you are not a subject of a king, then it means that you are your own. You must raise your own soldier to fight your war. So God has armies, and we keep saying the commander of the host of heaven. You know, the man that appeared to Joshua, and Joshua asked him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" He said, "Nay, I come as the commander, you know, of the Lord's army." The problem that we have, what we are contending with, is because we have not accepted the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, people of God, when we begin to submit fully to his authority and kingship, all the problems his armies are able to deal with them. They're able to deal with them. Because each time Israel is having a problem, all what he will do, he will send. Sometimes he talks of sending Micah. You know, that's the power of God. That's all what God is showing. So God is able to send the power of God to deal with my problems and our problems. That's all what God is showing there. Rather than seeing a physical angel. Because you know the meaning of that angel. It means that's what God is sending across to his people. Now, if we go to chapter 3, let's see something there. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Now, God has his soldiers, and a time came because the younger ones have not known wars that happened in Canaan. Verse 2, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, even as many of Israel. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, the five lords of the Philistines. God put them there. And that's why, even when they had, before they had king, they had to confront with the five lords of the Philistines. Even when they had king, they had to confront. Of course, you remember that even David was the one that now had to be fighting the sons of the Anakims, which God put there. Now, verse 3, namely the five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Avites that dwell in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entry in of Hamath. Verse 5, and the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Avites and Amorites and Perizzites and Avites and Jebusites. These were the same people that God destroyed to put them there. And God had proposed that all this kingdom would be destroyed completely, so that his people will know peace, will know around them to be there and settle. But at this point, because they failed to recognize his kingship, serving other Baals. So what God did is that those people were not destroyed completely. He now left remnants of them. And it was this remnant that became a problem. So God says, seven great cities came against Israel and God destroyed them. And he said, I'm going to give them their land, the land of the Canaanites. But at the end of the day, we are seeing that the Canaanites still had land because they were not completely destroyed. All these have spiritual implications for us. God is saying, give me your heart. The totality. But you give him part. And that part you held back will become the stronghold of the enemy that's supposed to have been destroyed. That was the case of Israel. And it's the case today. So when you give him all, of course, there will be total annihilation of the enemies. So all the nations remain. Let's look at verse 6. What the people did. He said, and they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to be their son, and serve their gods. So, intermarriages. And worse still, idolatry. So they serve their gods. And the Bible is clear that the gods to whom you submit to. So what the person you are serving is your Lord. And Baal, which is interpreted Lord, became the Lord of the people of God. Not God. Now, let's see some things in chapter 1, you know, of Judges. There are 12 tribes in Israel. Apart from the initial 3.5 tribes, which eventually became 4 tribes that got land. And those ones got land not really in the promised land. They got land outside of it. And it was like an expanded land. And I found out that the land that those people got were not initially to be given to Israel. They were just to pass. It was when the people say you will not pass through that they started fighting and destroy all those Bashan with their god Og and all of that, Ai and all that. But those who crossed Jordan into their inheritance were supposed to be 8 tribes. And none of those 8 tribes pursued completely the enemies out of their land because of serving other gods. And God now said, okay, I will leave these people there. Let's see it in Judges chapter 1. I'll just briefly point at them. Look at verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain. You know that mountain, the one that was given to Caleb. He said, give me this mountain, if God be with me. Because, he said, he wholly served the Lord. And they gave him the mountain. He went there and destroyed the enemy. But they also had the valleys. Nobody like him took the valley. So, let's move down on that. And he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of fire. That's Judah. And they gave Abram unto Caleb, as Moses said, and it expelled thence the three sons of Anak, because he wholly served the Lord. So it means that when you only serve the Lord, your assigned portion will be fully appropriated by you. What I'm saying is that there are blessings God has so set aside. Full blessings. Our ability to inhabit our promised land. There is a promised land God is giving to us. But that if you serve the Lord wholly, you will fully appropriate that portion of land that has been set aside for you. That's what the Lord is faithful. So this man, in spite of the sons of Anakims, he said he expelled them, three of them. He expelled them and settled them. And later on, David and his men killed them. Still Judah. Let's see verse 21. But remember, while they won the mountains, the valleys were occupied by the enemy of God. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph went to describe Bethel. Now the name of that city before was Luz. And if I saw a man, let me move. Verse 27. So we are saying that Judah did not drive out all. The same thing, Benjamin had his own challenges. Because while they were doing like that, they ended up carrying gods and all that. And that became a problem unto them. 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshan, her town, nor Taman, or her town, nor the inhabitants of Dor, like that. That's, if you begin to count, you see three. You go down to verse 29. It said, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites to dwell in Gaza. 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Ashur, nor the fondling them. 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh, nor the inhabitants of Berna. The Canaanites still remain. And you go to verse 34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. So you just discover that. So it means that they possess the mountain, but the valley is possessed by the enemies of God. Verse 35. Say, but the Amorites will dwell in Mount Erez in Ajalon, and it shall be, yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed, so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorite was from the going to. Okay. So, at the end of the day, they had to wait on, that's the sons of, waited and waited until they were able to turn the enemy to tributes. Most of the time, when you say you turn them to tribute, have you removed their wicked hearts? No. And so, with time, they will introduce their gods. And the people of God will follow. So, 8 tribes had men left to try them. All because of the problem that they had in serving God. So, brethren, the condition to fully inhabit our inheritance, to possess it, is that we must wholly love the Lord, wholly serve the Lord, wholly follow the Lord. That in us there should be no vacancy for the gods of the land. Once you give allowance to do this today, allowance to do that, allowance, before you know it, all the small allowances will become big. So let's look at some of the things that God will want us to address, so that we will come to the point of knowing that there is God, you know, in Israel. And not only that there is God, you recognize that there is King in Israel. In the body of Christ, there is King, brethren. And until we recognize the kingship of the Lord Jesus, that's when you just know that all the problems which you have not been able to address, take those problems to the King. But when you are not recognizing the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when you have problems and you are not taking the problem to the King, have you recognized that it's your King? Will you obey his instruction? You have been disobeying him. How do you now want the King, you know, to now help you? These are practical issues which I believe God wants the people of God to address. Praise the Lord. Now, when there is no King, it's not as if there is no King, but that the people of God are yet to accept the kingship of God. Because that's just the thing. So holy, it's either you accept him fully or you don't accept him. So when we fail to accept him, then it looks as if there is no King. Because the King you are serving cannot help you. And the King you are supposed to serve, you are not serving. And you want him to come and help you. He will not help you. Praise the Lord. Now, there are problems which we have to address today, brethren. You know, the first is that in Judges 21:25 that we read, it said, every man does that which pleases him. And this is the foundation of the problem we see today in the bodies of Christ. If there are schism in the body, it's because every man is pleasing himself or herself. If we all agree to please God, if I'm pleasing God, everybody is pleasing God. At the end of the day, we just discover that there are no problems. Because I will be seeing God. I will be seeing my brother and sister through the eye of God that I'm pleasing. So all the so-called problem in the body will disappear. So we need to all look up. Looking up is very important. So we have to come to the point where we have to stop pleasing ourselves. You know, don't stop pockets of pleasing of yourself. Two is that when you are doing like that, it brings famine in the land. It brings famine. When you are pleasing yourself, it brings famine. When you are not recognizing the kingship of the Lord, when God is not being seen as our King, it brings famine. Famine of the world. In Israel, it was physical famine. Every time, as they go out worrying, then famine will come. Three, no. It brings generation that will not know the Lord. Go, see, when a generation You know, who is supposed to know the Lord is not knowing the Lord. I've seen as a child, as I grew up, my place, there are people who serve the Lord. You know, those days in the 30s and 50s, when they had to contend with idols and all the evil in the land. That was the man that said, God promised him that his generation, you know, because of how he served God, all the things they did to him, both physically and spiritually, he weathered it and wholly served the Lord. And God promised him something. And God exalted his family. So it is today, brethren, that we must begin to wholly serve the Lord, not giving room to tradition, not giving room to our own ways, so that the generation that will come will be the generation that will know the Lord. Yes, it's important. That's why we have children, we dedicate them to the Lord. Yes, you dedicate them to the Lord. Yes, you, who is dedicating them to the Lord, are you dedicated to the Lord? Are you dedicated to the Lord? Because your dedication to the Lord brings dedication of your children. So it's not a question of you are dedicated to them. You, are you dedicated? So, brethren, we must be dedicated to the Lord. Dedicated to serving the Lord. Dedicated to worshiping the Lord. Dedicated to following this God to the end. Apart from that, brethren, another thing is that it will take away the anger of the Lord from his people. In Judges, Judges 2:14, you begin to see that because you, when they serve other gods, say, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against most problems today of individuals. Some are as a result of our actions or inactions, and what we are supposed to do, we are not doing. Because when God wants you to take a decisive action and you are not doing so. So we have to come to the point, because God says, I'm a jealous God. So if you are serving Balaam in any way, that it means that if you have another master for which you are obeying, if the kingship of the Lord God is not being established in our lives, can see that case. He said in Matthew 22, he said, and the king sent his armies to deal with the gainsayers and the people who will not obey his word. Now, I must recognize that physically, the Midianites that you find in Judges chapter 6. You read chapter 6 of Judges, you see what God said about the Midianites. The Midianites are terrible people. It's when they are coming, they allow you to plant. They allow the crop to mature. But that time of harvest, when you are harvesting, for some, they even allow you to harvest. They allow you to go to the press and press out the wheat and separate the... That time, then they will land. And they will fill the whole land with people, with soldiers. And what they are interested in is in the increase of the land. Brethren, there are Midianites. At times, that's why if any of us, each time you accumulate, and the time of enjoying it. Something comes to take it away. Those are Midianites. I admit that we, as people of God, we must look inside. Because what is it that is opening up the Midianites into my life, into our lives? Because the Midianites are there. They know when to come. And they come because we fail to wholly serve the Lord. Because that's the entrance that He gives into the lives of the people of God. And when they come, they say they take all. They are not, they don't care whether you eat or you don't eat. Both physically and spiritually. You have come here now. You have harvested. Will you benefit from what you have come to this camp to collect? Or as soon as you land home, they're in trouble. Because you see, there are people that, spirits that are willing to fix on what you have gathered. But we have to come to the point and you say no. No. You have to say no to the Midianites. And that's why when that young man, he said he was hiding his wheat from the Midianites. And God went to him. I said, "You mighty man of valor. Brethren, as we have come here, we have become mighty men of valor." So you have to go home and destroy the gods. Because that's the problem of our father's houses. Because he didn't know. He said, "Am I a mighty man of valor? When all this and this and this." God said, "Okay, your problem, okay, go and destroy the gods of your land." And when he did that, the strength came. How come? Was the strength not there before? It's because they did not recognize the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was why, when he burned down the gods of the land, he destroyed it. They rose up. And the father said, "Let Baal contend." Are you going to fight for Baal? Let Baal contend. Brethren, we can destroy the gods in our father's land. If we rise up as one man. Because we must not give room, no space for the worship of Baal. Because we cannot be worshiping Baal and you are trying to judge Baal. And you know that was the problem of Samson. Samson came at this time when there was no king in Israel. And he was supposed to be one of the judges to rule over Israel, a Nazarite, upon whom the razor should not come upon his head. He was to destroy the Philistines. But he went there and saw not just a woman, but an harlot. So, the implication is that he had gone to take the worst of the worst of the Philistines as his wife. He had taken, that's the one that you can say is there's nothing left. But here was a Nazarite, a man upon whom. So, brethren, you cannot put your head on the lap of Delilah and claim that all is well. All can never be well in that situation. If you say all is well, then you are deceiving yourself. Like Samson, he put his leg there while he was massaging him. He called for the people to shave off the old thing. Say, when the whole thing was finished, he said, that love thing became, was the first to punish him, to inflict him, whether with cane or with stick, to say, rise up now, we are fight. He said, when he rose up, he knew not that the power had departed. Yes, he came back. He got back. Because with time, the hair started growing again. But he got the mark of the Philistines. They cut short his ministry. Couldn't deliver the people of God again. So, brethren, we are Nazarites. We must not be enticed by Delilah or the women of the valley of Sorok. Even when the father told him, because these days, brethren will tell you, we are your fathers, we are your mothers. The people, Jesus said that, look, these are my fathers. And so they told him, he said, are there no women in there? He said, no, this one pleases me well. This one that will destroy him pleases him well. I hope that which will destroy us will not please us well. It could be job. Some people, because you want job at all costs. Even when God is putting hand there, don't go, this one will put into, oh, I have to, it pleases me well. Or to create problem. In this period, is the period when people are moving away to Moab. This time when there seems to be no king in Israel. And it's a problem, because when the kingship is not established, then there will be hunger, because God will not bless the increase of the land. It's the same way spiritually. If you are not fully serving the Lord, if you are still putting your hand into things, God will bring hunger. The hunger is to drive you to God. But the hunger can also drive you to Moab. And like Ruth and her husband, they went to Moab, he said. Remember, going to Moab is, there is no excuse to going to Moab. Yes, all what is needed is confession of sins. Because a man of Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread and praise, that's Bethlehem in Judah. A man from the house of bread in the tribe of praise cannot go to Moab. However close Moab can be. Moab was one of the sons of Lot by incense. So, because sometimes we hear people say, but there are other churches. You can run, because maybe there are some things God is telling you to do, to drop. You are not ready to drop it. But you go to where it is condoned. But one thing you must know is that always bread that will always come back to the house of bread. Why he went? The old man died. The two sons died. And while in that situation, he said he heard that God has remembered his people and has given them bread. He heard.
But by that time, she has lost everything. Brethren, we have no business with Moab. Because even if there is scarcity at a particular time, bread will return to the house of bread. Praise the Lord. Now, this period, if you look at the book of Judges, chapter 19, the whole chapter, it starts talking of it's a time of pollution. We are in the time of pollution. When people say that everybody is doing what they like, the tendency is that you are going to be doing things, or you are listening to things that you think is right in your own eyes, but not in the eyes of God. But there are things that God is putting his hand upon to say, this is right, this is right, this is right. This is the way, walk ye in it. So this man went and did all that to the extent that what was done in Israel, that was exactly what Sodom and Gomorrah did when the angel came to the house of Lot, where any man they see, they said, let's know him. Let's know him. What are we saying, brethren? We're in the time that the spirit of the enemy is using men and women, you know, to bring about knowing. If you pack into anything, they are going to come to you, come to our church. And when you tell them that you have a church, that I said that one is far, come to this one. Remember, when you were confronted with that, there's something that is missing. Because that was what Jeroboam did when he instituted the feast of the 8th month. Oh, Israel is so powerful. How can you be serving God from far? Here is your God to serve. Brethren, there is pollution out there. And you have to run away from pollution. And of course, once you are polluted, you will no longer see the king as the final authority. You see, there are other aspects. You see, the sons of Eli. The sons of Eli operated at the time when people felt there was no king in Israel. Because Eli came as a judge. But the children, look at all the evil that they did, you know, in Israel. Which God had to speak to a small boy, Samuel, about what he will do to the house of Eli. And that was why, even when Ichabod was born, glory has departed. And at the time, Ichabod, you know, and us were priests, it was a problem. So, it was this period that the ark of God was taken into captivity. So, brethren, God is in the business of restoring his church. So that was why when the Philistines took the ark, they said the glory had departed. Yes. But God caused that ark to come back. Because God can defend his name. So all what we need to do is that let's align ourselves to God. And that God demonstrated very well. They took up to the house of Dagon to say, Dagon, this is your captive. Because that's what they were saying. This is your captive. Because anything they want to do, when they took the head of Saul, they took it to the house of Dagon. Because they're saying, Dagon, this is your captive. So they took the ark and said, this is Dagon's captive. God said that we will know who is captive of who. In the morning, Dagon was lying flat, bowing and worshiping. They came back and said, no, it cannot happen. They raised it up. Said, okay, God, I will not show you. In the morning, it was not only falling, the limbs and the neck, everything had been cut off. Brethren, God can defend his name. But only that me and you, we must rise up in the spirit and decide to serve this God. Because he's the one that is inviting us to the banquet. He said, men, we thought should, that are worthy. Brethren, we are all worthy. But we must not disappoint the king. We disappoint the king when we are not worshiping him. When we are not accepting his lordship. When we are not obeying his commands to come to the banquet. Because when you come to the banquet, you must be properly dressed. And the dressing has become an important aspect of what God is requiring for us today. So we must know God many things. And then today, the carrying of the ark of the presence of God is an issue. Because the Philistines are the one that is dictating the pace, telling the people of God how to serve their God. Because they brought the ark on a cart. And now, that's us drunk cart. But God says, the ark will be carried on what? Shoulder. It's a burden. And they tried it in Israel. And there was a breach. So what God is saying, that we cannot carry the presence of God in the way of the Philistines. Or if you like, end timers, you cannot serve God anyhow. You cannot serve God anyhow. You cannot carry the presence of God anyhow. You cannot do it like their own. This is how they do it there. Why are we not doing it here? We cannot carry the presence. The presence of God is a burden which must be on shoulder. I will pray that God will grant us grace so that, see, our offering will be unto God and we can bring appropriate offering. We can please him and wear the appropriate wedding garment so that at the end of the day will be counted worthy, you know, of partaking in the banquet, this sumptuous banquet which the king has prepared. Praise the Lord. God bless you.